Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of Building Better Futures for Health podcast series. I'm Richard Sokolov, your host. Today we're going to talk about a specific topic, that is of manufacturing in medtech and its importance to the success of any commercial venture. At IDE, manufacturing has been a very important part of everything that we do and integrated at the core of our services and our offerings, both for our clients and partners and for our own ventures. Today, I'm pleased to welcome one of our own, Morgan James, Director of Manufacturing, to unpack this with me. Morgan, welcome.
Thank you, Richard. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We spent a lot of time together working, so it's good to sort of pull out here and have a chance to chat about this really important topic. So have I overstated how important manufacturing is in terms of commercialization success? What's your take on it?
You're asking a very biased opinion, but look, I think when you're trying to deliver impact in health, you need to look at the whole business model for delivering that impact. And manufacturing and setting up all the things to get good manufacturing in place are vitally important to delivering on your mission.
Yeah, it's important, right? Because when people talk about manufacturing in terms of commercialization and developing something, the focus goes on to things like design for manufacturing and assembly, right? That becomes a big focus. But it's not just that, right? It's a little bit more than just DFMA, right?
I find right at the start, you need to figure out what difference you want to make and then work through how you're going to deliver that in the constraints that you have. And, you know, we deal with people who are absolutely tiny. They walk in the office with an idea on a napkin. We also deal with organizations that are multi-billion-dollar global organizations. Fundamentally, they all want to make an impact and they're looking for ways to come out of the box or get the resources in line to make that impact. I find the technical side of things is usually of minor concern, and you can get a lot of people to work on and through the technical aspects. But if you don't have that clear objective and that strategy in place, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. I do a lot of reading that we talk about a lot. You know, there's two people that come to mind. Benjamin Franklin, you know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And Patton, having a good plan executed today is better than having the perfect plan executed tomorrow. And I think where we really add value is striking the balance between that and getting things out there and into the hands of people who need them and can benefit from them.
Yeah, and having that plan, I guess when we're talking about our theme today of manufacturing, people sometimes tack it on the end or think of it in terms of that narrow scope like DFMA, but we're talking about embedding it from the day one, day dot, and thinking about it, because I guess manufacturing in our context has always been the way that you get your value out to the customer and deliver them what they're seeking. And without that embedded throughout the whole journey, becomes something tacked on the end and you don't get the full value that you could have got out of it, right? I was talking about it the other day. I gave a talk at the BridgeTech program in Sydney here, and I said to them, you're not only designing or developing your product, you're designing, developing your business, you're designing, developing your manufacturing processes. So it's this journey where we're creating value in all these different elements of a business model that need to come together to work well. And I think some people don't look at it that way and they try to fit it at the end or fit it within given constraints or known processes. And what we're talking about, what we share a common perspective on, is that we need to think about that from a perspective of how can we add that value and what do we need to do to add that value and do that rather than just trying to fit it within what we know or what we have. But before I get stuck into, because that's where we're going to go today, but I want to just rewind back a little bit and I want people to know a little bit about you. Right? So I want to know your origin story, how you got to where you are, but more importantly, why you're doing what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to here.
Well, I think now, and you know, there's now a few years of experience behind this, where I am in my career at the moment is I'm very mission-led. You know, I see medical devices as a fantastic way to make impact in people's lives. And, you know, I'm a family man now. To me, making a tangible difference and doing things that I can personally be proud of is very important to me. That motivation's changed a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember being a young fella, I spent a lot of time on my grandparents' farm and in their engineering workshop, and I just wanted to make things.
Yep.
I found it interesting to pull things apart, put things back together sometimes, find novel ways to solving problems around the farm and in heavy engineering context. My dad was a scientist and he was very passionate about the medical profession and how that could make a difference to people's lives. And you know, I was a bit wayward as a child, but I eventually kind of found my way to uni doing mechanical engineering, did that at UTS. And I was very fortunate, you know, you talk about serendipity and things. My first internship was at a large medical device company making CPAP masks. Mm-hmm. And I also think that when I came through was very fortunate as well, because at that time, the automotive industry was dying in Australia. That manufacturer was making extensive use of local suppliers. So I got to go in, learn how the underlying processes work and got a lot of technical knowledge that way. And then I was there for the shift towards offshoring. Mm. So, you know, a lot of operations moved to China, Singapore, places like that. And just seeing, you know, we talk about competitive and comparative advantage, seeing that play out in real time and the shift in industry, the shift in government priorities and things was very, very useful for a young engineer. That organization, you know, ended up being very US focused. It was a large organization, so there were plenty of resources, which was magic for a young engineer. Mm. But it also ended up not presenting as much of a challenge as what I wanted. And one of my old bosses from that company ended up calling me up and asked me to join a startup. And he knew his audience. He pitched it as a bit of an adventure, and I very duly signed. Oh, big time. You know me. I like a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
And went and joined them. They were absolutely tiny, only a handful of employees, very eclectic portfolio, but we ended up kind of resolving that to be around safety in IV and other devices, waste management, suction, things of that nature. Had an absolute whirlwind with them. So, you know, got to see from very much the ground level how to manage limited resources, limited cash and things like that, which I'd never experienced before. Got to figure out, well, if you don't have the machinery or equipment or expertise to do it, how do you get a nice little coalition in place to make it work and deliver that impact? Because at the end of the day, that was the first organization where we were both survival-led and mission-led. You know, we ended up getting a core of people who really drank the Kool-Aid and believed in what we were trying to do. And we ended up growing that business, not without mistakes. We had plenty of mistakes along the way to the point where we got bought out. And I thoroughly enjoyed my time there. I got lots of opportunities. I did my MBA while I was there, which really taught me about what makes a business run and how to create value, which I think can't be understated in any operation, whether you're an accountant, a device manufacturer, a sales organization. And yeah, it was both a triumph to get bought out and also a disappointment, because I would have loved to have taken that further, you know, stellar. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't all tears. I ended up staying on with the amalgamated company for a few years doing mergers and acquisitions, doing project integrations. And that was a lot of fun. Taught me a different side of business, more the financial and people side of business, which had been neglected earlier. And then, you know, as that work was progressing, I wanted to come back to the ground roots and, you know, try build something, get back that mission focus and impact focus again. And that brought me to IDE.
Yeah, that's why we're here. It's interesting because your move through the industry sort of a little bit resonates with mine. I started with a large multinational down the road here, actually, from the studios here, which is fully vertically integrated, incredibly vertically integrated. Like literally where I was sitting amongst all the stuff that had to be done to produce, it was in gaming to produce these machines. And you learnt the value and the importance of that whole process of realization, getting things out the door. And then obviously myself getting to startups with IDE and other startups is sort of kindred spirits in sort of the way that we went about it. And this is sort of why I think we were really happy to get you on board, because you're not your run-of-the-mill manufacturing exec. I think that experience of creating value and producing something out of nothing and delivering it to market with that perspective of manufacturing and, I guess, realization, however you want to term it, could be a bit broader than just purely manufacturing, I think, in your context, is so important. And I think this is where we talk a lot about at work. We talk a lot about this concept of manufacturing, and we call it design-led manufacturing, but it's probably more apt to call it entrepreneurial manufacturing, where we're trying to deliver sort of value. Can you give us your take on that? So is that something that we talk a lot about? And I wanted to share that with people because it's sort of a little bit unique in terms of we're not just trying to produce things within a given set of processes, constraints. We actually try to work out what's best for our partners and how do we then execute and deliver it, whether it be with us taking more risk, doing it with others, whatever it needs to get through that process to get to the market, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong, like I said in the intro, that sort of takes away the value, takes value off the table or risks the future. Can you just tell the listeners and the viewers, I guess, a little bit about what your take is on that type of approach, this entrepreneurial manufacturing approach?
We started learning about design-led manufacturing in uni, and, you know, we've looked at entrepreneurial-led businesses and things of that nature. One of the things that I think IDE does really, really well is the why, how, what, and then looking at things through different lenses of risk. Doing design-led manufacturing, I think you already start to constrain yourself if you look at it in that lens. You're already assuming that, you know, you've got your idea right, your concept right, the organizational context correct. And one of the things that I'm really pleased about how we engage with the partners and the clients we work with is we say, look, what are you really trying to achieve? What are those constraints that are going to get you there? And what do you want your model to be? Because let's face it, people don't always engage in business to make a dollar. Some people want impact. Some people want, you know, personal fulfillment or other things. And I think getting to the bottom of that results in people achieving what they want to achieve. In terms of the nuts and bolts of it, one of the things that I find consistent is getting to the heart of what people really want to achieve isn't as simple as asking them. And very often we walk into meetings and walk out of them. We've said, what do you want to achieve? And they'll tell you something. And then as you start to work through the constraints, it may not be realistic or may not be what they've set themselves up to do. And I think we add a lot of value going through and working that out with them and giving them options to pivot. Because a lot of people, they tend to find that once they've decided on a path, they're scared to change that path because they won't meet expectations or they feel that in some way it's failing. But creating impact, you know, isn't a straight line. There's a lot of things to figure out. You've got to have the right partners. You've got to choose the right twists and turns in the road to get you to that destination. If you take a wrong turn, you need to have the confidence to backtrack and try again and make that pitch again. And I think we can make a lot of value in doing that. I've kind of skirted around your question a bit, but I think it's very important to address that higher level need.
You're talking about the fundamental sort of, I guess, underlying philosophy. I guess maybe we need to take it up a level and talk about how does that transpire into sort of the manufacturing elements of a medtech venture trying to get out the door. So we understand what their purpose is. We try to unpack their sort of objectives and all the other constraints that they have. And then we try to plot a course. What has that resulted in terms of from the perspective of the manufacturing part of their organization or manufacturing part of their venture?
We tend to ask a lot of questions. And, you know, some people start with their heart set on building it themselves in their own factory or building it in Australia or doing any one of a number of things. It's important to ask why, because sometimes, you know, it may not be the straight line financial reasons, and then work with them to meet that. So I always like to give options. So, you know, if you want to achieve this, then this is the pathway we propose. A lot of the positive feedback I've received has been in the planning stage. So you are here. We think this is where you are on your development and enterprise journey, and you have stated you want to get to here. These are all the things you need to do in the middle, and, you know, these are the different paths you can take. A lot of people haven't taken the time to figure that out, or they don't have the expertise or the systems to figure that out. A lot of value is created in that area. And then I think IDE, because we've been doing this for a while, we now have the networks, the equipment, the facilities, the partners to be able to execute most things people want fairly effectively. So if you need a pharmaceutical filling line, if you need injection molding, if you need to dope sensors, do metal fabrication, any of those things, those technical details are fairly well resolved with a lot of partners. Some of those things we're bringing in-house because we're seeing it's starting to make sense to bring those in-house. But again, most of the journey, most of the value add, most of the difficulty is in figuring out that strategy and getting from A to Z.
I think that's what we're talking about, this entrepreneurial approach, right? Because we're saying, where are you trying to go? And then we say, well, hang on, how about this? Have you thought about X? I think there's lots of examples where we talk with people and we get involved, whether it be on some of our own ventures or with others. And there's this mindset of this is what we think we need to do. And when you sort of unpack it, you look at the risk, you think, well, hang on, that path that you've chosen, yeah, it's doable, you can do that. But have you thought about X, Y, Z? You know, some people, for example, might focus on, we need to get the lowest cost we can for the part. But then you talk about, well, hang on, you're launching this into a new market, it's a new technology. What about the risk of reliability? Mm-hmm. What about the risk of reworking or these sorts of aspects? And then that sort of changes the focus. Then we talk about, oh, well, hang on, how about you stage this? Let's work on this first, because, and let's build it here, or let's build it in low volumes, or let's do X, Y, Z to mitigate that risk, because that's the most important risk. It's not necessarily the price at that stage. And then let's try to reduce the price as we start to build volume. I think some people get caught up in just sort of one parameter, one variable of success, and don't think about the sort of the stages that you need to go through. And I think that's what you're talking about, right? When we ask a lot of questions, we unpack the constraints, we challenge the risks, and then we put together a system or a series of activities or a manufacturing process or production process that gives the best chance of success, right? There's no absolutes here in this business, right? So it's never right or wrong, and it's not always a case of this black and white. It's more gray, and we're trying to minimize the negative exposures that we can get in that journey.
It's interesting. As you've been speaking, there's two anecdotes that come to mind. And they're around just having an outside perspective. You know, very often, whether you're in a small organization that you're living and breathing trying to make it work, or whether you're in a large organization where you're surrounded by people who have been indoctrinated into the way, I find there's been multiple examples at both ends of the spectrum. I think you can even think of the companies I'm talking about, where just having that outsider perspective to say, hey, have you thought about this? Have you considered these?
Being the contrarian, I guess, a little bit, right?
Sometimes it's not even contrarian. Sometimes it can even be confirming what they've been thinking deep inside. Yeah. I think both cases add value. The other thing is I think process is very underrated, and sometimes people don't have process, and because IDE's business is built around doing these things, you know, I look at how much our processes have changed in the last 2 years, evolving as we learn different things, as we try different things. Mm. You know, that learning takes organizations a long time, and it's there available for people now. You know, even in conversations with the business unit directors, sometimes just those initial conversations give people value, because they get people thinking about things they hadn't considered. They give people the tools to assess things more objectively and create value that way.
It's a bit of a mantra of ours, right? Always trying to create value, always trying to add something to the benefit of the others that we're dealing with, rather than just trying to fit within what we know or what we, you know, what we've got experience in. It's like trying to add value. Sometimes it's outside that. But then developing those processes or whatever we need to do to achieve that is really what at our heart, right, that we love to do, because it's all about building that value and that better future, I guess.
If you're not creating value, why are you having the conversation?
Exactly. And I think that's sort of what we've always been about. I think it's great to see that it sort of permeates into your group as well. I guess it's sort of, we're at a time now, I guess, in our country now where the government's really trying to create this manufacturing renaissance, right? So it's sort of a good place to be in, I guess, in terms of with that being the sort of underlying theme that we're sort of seeing from government and industry sort of associations and industry players as well. Thinking of down those lines and people listening to this and needing to get into manufacturing or wanting to get into manufacturing, specifically medtech, obviously that's a little bit of our focus. Given all that we've said and that context in industry at the moment or in government at the moment, what advice would you have for those people, you know, looking to embark upon this or that need this as part of their commercial venture that they're on?
For me, the question is always, why do you want to do it? And there's a lot of very good reasons to get into manufacturing. When we talk about manufacturing, I always hit you with the five operational performance metrics. So cost, quality, reliability, flexibility, and speed. And there's very compelling reasons to do any activity in manufacturing. So this be from, you know, raw material fundamentals to value add process to, you know, release and distribute in country. The government is pushing for it. They've assigned a lot of funding for manufacturing in Australia. It's been very difficult to get full access to that funding. And you know my opinions on whether that funding has been assigned the correct way to get most impact. I think it's a very positive thing that we're now investing in that side of industry, because not only does it help with actual making physical things, creating jobs for people, but I think Australia has fantastic research and development capabilities, they are augmented by having, you know, the facilities to do quick turnaround, to get people to learn about the processes that they're doing and how they impact further along the line. I think investing in the infrastructure and development of process, people often neglect, you know, you can design a thing, but then the processes that go into actually making the thing, there's a hell of a lot of, you know, research and development that needs to go into those. And I think the current chip shortages worldwide speak to that quite concerningly. There's a lot of opportunity there. Think about who you can partner with, because very often what I find, it makes no sense to do it by yourself, but you get a bit of a coalition together and suddenly it can make things very viable and very valuable. You know, I think with manufacturing, we tend to focus on cost and viability and the other four metrics that I mentioned, but usually cost and viability. But what about value? Because, you know, sometimes one plus one can equal more than two. So who do you have in your network? What can you do with them? Can you package things up and make it somewhat greater?
Yeah, I think that there is this value that people sometimes leave off the table when they just focus purely on cost. And obviously we need to do that. We always are focusing on that. There's always cost in healthcare is a big issue. And it's a big value add if you can reduce cost in healthcare. But there's also other aspects that we can look at in terms of how you can provide value to your customers that's not solely centered around the cost of the good.
Did you ever read, there was a great book by a fellow William Kissick back in the 90s. It was about the healthcare dilemma.
No, I haven't.
So this is where the iron triangle of healthcare came from. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't.
So this is about affordability, quality and availability of healthcare.
Right.
And it was interesting. He had a somewhat dim view of it. I think it was somewhat addressed a bit later by Christensen and, and people like that. And I've always considered it duty and obligation to move that iron triangle up. So he argued that, you know, to change any one of those metrics, you will affect the others. So if you improve quality or availability, it affects the cost. But you look at the changes that have happened in our industry over the last few years, and especially the changes we saw with COVID, and I think it just shows the way we can raise the bar.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think because there is always this mindset that, for example, you gave that, you know, that scenario where if you improve quality, you're going to affect costs. And I sort of always challenge that. I go, why does that have to be true? I think sometimes that's because you're stuck with the same mindset in terms of how you actually produce something, in given our theme for today, as opposed to trying to challenge to develop that further, like challenge your process, challenge maybe through partnerships. And that's that entrepreneurial sort of design-led approach to, again, manufacturing. So I think, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think we have to challenge ourselves. And I think this is what I love about how you approach it. And hence why I wanted you to come on today. Maybe just to wrap up, I just want to talk a little bit about what your plans are for IDEA and for our manufacturing. I know you've been very busy with your business unit on working out these plans. Can you tell us a little bit about that and let people know about that?
So as I mentioned before, we tend to have two very extreme cases of people coming to us and seeking, I'll use the term help, but it's not always help. Sometimes it's just advice or sometimes it's sounding out resources. We've done a lot of process development over the last 2 years, and I intend to keep doing that. I think there's a lot of value to be added in asking the right questions for manufacturing, giving people a framework and being able to distribute that thoroughly. I don't think we're talking to enough people, so I'd like to expand our reach, you know, not just in Australia, but in the Americas, Europe as well, because I think there's a lot more networks that we can bring in to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, because of my background, we've been very heavily Asia focused in our networking at the moment. I'm trying to address that because I think that's a bit of a structural risk for us. And I think there's a lot of technology partnerships and funding that we can unlock by looking into the different areas. I've put together a number of proposals for facilities. I think there are some very underserved segments of industry in Australia that can really benefit, one, from our expertise, and two, from good stewardship of process. So one of the things that I talk to our design teams about a lot is, how are you going to evaluate the quality? How are you going to evaluate your operational metrics? Is there anything we can do and control to make sure we get a better outcome? A lot of the work we get in late stage manufacturing is problem solving. And a lot of that problem solving comes from a lack of stewardship and diligence in those. So I'd like to see us offering that more, having people more aware of it, and being able to serve people directly in that area and bring a bit of responsibility and accountability. You know, I keep using the word stewardship, a bit of stewardship to their operations so that we can make sure that they're doing what they want to do. I joined IDE because I thought it was a really good vehicle to help medtech innovation get out there. We haven't disappointed. We've been doing that. And I want to get everything in place to make sure we can play our role in that.
Fantastic, Morgan. And we're very pleased to have you. And I'm pleased to have you today. Probably talk about this for a long time when we do. Usually on Fridays, we have good chats over a beer in the office. But we'll probably call it to a close for this episode. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries.
It was great speaking with you. I really enjoyed that. And hopefully those listening and watching will take something away from that that will help them on their journey to building better futures. Thanks very much, mate.
No worries at all.
See you back in the office.
Look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, no worries.
Cheers, Richard.